Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to travel 3 hours from Phoenix, Arizona, where I am, to a town called Bisbee, Arizona, where right now it's 85 degrees and sunny. We're in Phoenix, we're already at the 105 degree mark. So today we have our guest, Bob Klein from Bisbee, Arizona, and I'll tell you a little bit about Bob. Bob originally is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He spent time growing up in Mexico and Florida, where he completed a master's degree in business administration. Bob's professional background includes a career working in grant administration for both the New Mexico State Supreme Court, as well as the Cochise Valley, Arizona Victim Witness Program. He has been involved in real estate for many years, starting off by working in property management in Santa Fe. Bob also owns and operates the Double Jack Guest House, a popular destination guest house in old historic Bisbee. Bob has worked as a realtor in Bisbee since 2013, and every year since 2015, he has been voted best realtor in Bisbee by the Sierra Vista Herald. He has been a resident of Bisbee since 2004 and attributes much of his success and his passions for the community of Bisbee from the people and historic nature of the town to the beauty of the historic architecture and the landscape. His appreciation and knowledge of Cochise Valley and the local real estate market has become an advantage for his clients. They continue to value his hands-on approach, attention to detail, persistence, strong negotiating skills, extensive local network, and insider knowledge. I'll tell you, if I ever decide to move to Bisbee, I know where I'm going.
Excellent.
Community involvement is important to Bob, and he's manifested this in many ways. This includes being involved in the creation and development of the annual Bisbee Pride Festival and working with the annual Bisbee Historic Home Tour and annual Bisbee Coaster Races. Bob is also strongly committed to quality childhood education in Bisbee by working on the Bisbee Community Montessori School Board of Directors and CMS Executive Steering Committee. When Bob is not previewing Bisbee properties, assisting folks in listing their properties, or helping others find the perfect Bisbee home or getaway, he enjoys spending time with his family, volunteering, cooking, I'm coming over for dinner, being physically active, traveling, and sharing experiences with friends. Whether sharing his passion for Bisbee with his clients or marketing a home to others, Bob is committed to offer the highest quality representation and services. His track record says it all. So, Bob, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. And let's get to know you a little bit and tell our audience, how long, again, have you been in Bisbee? And did you move from the Philadelphia area?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mark, for having me on your show. I appreciate it. It's always nice to spread the word of Bisbee. So, yes, kind of 2001 when 9/11 happened. Was that 2001 or 2000?
Yeah.
9/11 caused us to go on a road trip by car since we couldn't fly anywhere for vacation. And we ended up finding and discovering Bisbee, ended up buying a house in 2002, and then actually moving here permanently in 2004. So we've been here like 19 years, and it was supposed to be a three-year stay. We kind of thought, well, we'll try this small town out for 3 years, and turned in now 19 so far. So it has worked out. The town is very welcoming to people. Ah, yes. Well, born outside of Philadelphia in a very small town. Parents ended up living in moving to Mexico. So I lived in Mexico City for 2 years during high school. And because our family was kind of acclimated to the warmer weather and sun, we ended up moving to Florida. And so I grew up in Florida, went to college in Florida, graduate school in Florida. And then someone told me that I should check out Arizona and the Southwest and specifically Santa Fe, New Mexico. And so I did and ended up moving to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I met my husband in 1999. And then we took that road trip on 9/11 and found Bisbee, and we have been here ever since. So kind of slowly moving west. But coming from the East Coast and water and Florida and the beaches, the desert offers everything, those feelings, but in a desert environment. So as much as I had the love and affinity for the water and sailing and the beaches, I love the desert and the mountains, the desert living environment. It just works for us. Luckily, we both like it.
Yeah, I definitely could relate. Coming from the East Coast, New York, and then Florida, and then coming out from Florida to Phoenix. So that was almost the same route as that you took. Yeah. In fact, coming out here to Phoenix, I was on my birthday when I went to New Mexico. I went to Albuquerque, actually. So I came from that area to visit here, just like you. Small world.
And it happens for a lot of people. A lot of people who have lived in Bisbee often vacation over in southern New Mexico. And I have clients that buy homes from Albuquerque, Santa Fe, buy homes here in Bisbee. So it is, I don't know if we're sister cities in any way, but there are similar, perhaps, in lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So explain to us geographically, where is Bisbee located within the state of Arizona?
So Bisbee is 90 miles southeast of Tucson. So we're right about 5 miles north of the border of Mexico. So we're up in the mountains, so we're a mile high in as far as elevation, which makes us a desirable destination for people on vacation, especially coming from Tucson or Phoenix, where temperatures can be as much as 20 degrees cooler here in Bisbee. So we're not on the way to anywhere, so we don't get a lot of traffic. People who come to Bisbee that's their intention, is they're coming to Bisbee. It's not like they're going somewhere else and they're going to stop in Bisbee, not likely. And we do have the most number of historic buildings because of our history in copper mining, which is what really put Bisbee on the map probably around 1890s. So it's an interesting town to visit, and it's got an amazing museum that is a Smithsonian affiliate. It has lots of natural resources as far as hiking and driving through the mountains, different mountain ranges. Hunters like it here too in hunting season. I actually, not likely a gay Jewish boy going hunting, but I did go hunting probably around 15 years ago because I went to summer camp when I was a child. And of course, little gay boys don't do sports often or not typical. And so I was one of those. And so I found myself in arts and crafts and riflery at camp. So I became a really good shooter and thought I had some friends here in Bisbee that were hunters. And I thought, well, it'd be interesting to see if I could tag along and see what I could do. And I did, but I didn't catch anything. But it was a fun experience. And it is part of what people do in this area of Arizona.
So getting back a little bit to that first road trip, when you got here, did you have intentions of like, this could be the next place I am going to live? What attracted you to Bisbee compared to all of the other cities in Arizona?
Well, it was a very visually pleasing sight to drive into Bisbee. We have our historic area of town called Old Bisbee is in kind of the steep hillsides of canyons that are red, mostly red colored rock. So similar to the visuals of maybe Sedona with the red rocks. And so driving into Bisbee, it was pleasing to see. And that was one of the attractions to Santa Fe, is that it is just so beautiful, the landscape. And it was that kind of feeling coming to Bisbee, and the reality of it's a lot less expensive to live in Bisbee than it is in Santa Fe. And the other attraction was that the community was so friendly. We were just tourists, and we ended up meeting people on the street. Everybody is friendly. Everybody has these cute, charming old houses that are built in the early 1900s, most built prior to 1910. So you walk around the streets and people are on their front porch and they say hello. And the next thing you know, you're having cocktails with them at sunset. And that was really nice, appealing. We have good food here. So Bisbee kind of charged us up right away. And we ended up spending the rest of our 2-week vacation on this, what was going to be a road trip. We stayed in Bisbee the whole time.
Wow.
And so
that's great.
It's a friendly place.
So we touched a little bit about the climate. It's not as severely hot because of the elevation as, of course, Phoenix. Phoenix is like the hottest place on earth, almost, except for Death Valley.
Yeah.
And Tucson is up there as well. So do you get also monsoons in the summer, just like we do, not as intense? Is it very dry, just like it is here in the valley?
We get snow. So in the wintertime, we do get precipitation, not just rain, but snow. It doesn't snow often. Typically, it doesn't snow a lot. It'll snow maybe 2 or 3 times a winter, and it'll be about 2 or 3 inches of snow. But weather, as everybody knows and is experiencing now, it can be extreme and unexpected. So we have had bouts of snowstorms where it was over a foot of snow at a time.
Wow.
It looks really beautiful, but it takes longer to get rid of.
Sure.
But as far as monsoons in the summertime, we do get monsoons. July, usually the first week of July is the beginning of our monsoon season. It goes into the beginning, early weeks of September. This year, our monsoons have come late. In fact, maybe just this week. So maybe 3 weeks or so late, maybe it'll extend further into September. I don't know. But the monsoon rains comes in the afternoon, typically very dramatic thunderstorms and lightning, crashing lightning. It's very beautiful to watch and to be in the canyon watching it come. Usually monsoons come up from the south, from Mexico, but sometimes a different direction. It just depends, but it cools things down. So from the afternoon to the evening is cool. And generally in the evenings, any time of year, Bisbee is cool because of our elevation. So
yeah,
it can be a really beautiful time of year, even though it's hot during the day. Our temperatures can typically don't go over 95, except this year we have been up to 100, 101. But generally,
that's a little chilly to me.
Come on down, take a break.
It's a little chilly. Ooh, 101. Oh, let me get my jacket. So we haven't had any rain so far, at least not here in Central Phoenix during the summer, but we still have a lot of summer left to go. So we'll see what happens. Do you ever get flooding? Does it rain that hard that you get flooding?
Mm-hmm. We do. I have actually seen, this was probably in the first couple of years of living in Bisbee, we had monsoon rains that we saw flooding in the canyons. So there are two canyons in the historic district, And that kind of water was, and it doesn't take a lot of water to do some pretty heavy damage. So water is pretty dangerous and people don't realize it. It just has to be barely up to your knee and it can take you away. So I had seen cars being floated down the canyon bottom, which is our main, one of our main streets. So cars, I've seen dumpsters, couches, refrigerators. They, if anything is left outside and it's in the path of that flooding water, it will take it down, downstream, down the road, and can be interesting. But Bisbee was built over 120 years ago, and it was built with that happening back then. So they built retaining walls and the streets. Some of them are cement so that they don't wash away. And so there is some ability to, you know, keep our houses safe, keep us safe. But retaining walls are a big deal because we live on steep hillsides. So our houses have cut out foundations by miners who were kind of gearheads and loved dynamite. And so they would blast away hillsides to make foundations for houses. And it's very similar to San Francisco. And so houses have retaining walls, which holds up their land, their property. And those were built over 100 years ago. So they are starting to fail, and erosion from drainage of water can cause that to happen. And so monsoon seasons, well, are very beautiful, can also bring some devastating damage to things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember I stayed at an Airbnb, and it was actually, you had to walk up like a little couple of steps up a mountain. To me, it was a mountain just to get there. And then there was still many, many others up above. The steps just kept on going and going and going.
Yes. And those are the still existing homes that you see on those hillsides. But just imagine back in the turn of the century and 1900, there were houses way above those houses that are no longer here. But sometimes you can see the foundation or the remnants of a foundation. So our population today is about 5,000. But back in the early 1900s, it was 22,000.
Wow.
And that's amazing to think that houses, one, it survived that long. They just don't build houses today like they used to.
Right.
Yeah. And it helps to live in them, to take care of them too. But it was amazing what population was here and how many houses were up the hillsides and how they got to them. Limited roads. More roads have been added over the years, of course, but standard way of getting to your house is usually steps. If you're lucky, you can drive, and you might even have a garage for really, you know, primo properties.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a different lifestyle, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
keeps you healthy. Absolutely,
yes. Yeah. So are there some getaways, like if you wanted to go on vacation, road trips that are nearby cities and towns? And I know Jerome near there?
Jerome is closer to you. It's outside of Sedona, but it's a very similar type of community, mining origins and steep hillside homes.
Right.
And curvy streets through the downtown and district, and nice views. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go north, a lot of people, it's interesting, a lot of people from Phoenix and Tucson, they head north to escape the warmer temperatures. They don't often think and realize that heading south, even though it is heading toward Mexico, which people think that it's going to be hotter.
It's hot.
It's not. And so we're COVID kind of put us on the map even further than where we already were, as far as people being aware that Bisbee is a great destination for getting away for a weekend.
What's the biggest city? What's the biggest city around Bisbee?
Well, Bisbee is the county seat, but probably the largest city is Sierra Vista, which is 25 miles to our west. And it's the largest military intelligence base in the country. So it's really grown from Fort Huachuca is the base there. And that's what kind of keeps Sierra Vista on the map. It's where we go for Home Depot and Lowe's and Applebee's and the big box stores, which we're glad they're there, but we're also glad they're not in Bisbee.
Right. Yeah. That's what makes Bisbee unique.
Yes.
Yes. Without those big box stores and and restaurants and chain restaurants.
Right.
Okay. So we know that Bisbee has a really large LGBTQ community. Is that important to you, living in a place where you're accepted?
Yes, for sure. Bisbee has a history of mining. We started as a copper mining town primarily. And that attracted lots of different ethnic cultures, people from all over the world to work in those mines. And so we have neighborhoods that have their origin in Sweden or in Swedish neighborhoods. We have German and we have Italian and Mexican and Chinese. So diversity is not a new thing for Bisbee. And I think that while back in the day, those communities probably didn't get along all the time very well, but it did set the stage for diversity and having a town have multiple sources of influence on their styles of their design of their homes, the commercial buildings. So I think that it was really, Bisbee has always been since the 70s, not always, but since the 70s when the mines closed, they're open. I mean, they've never really closed, but they stopped excavating and active mining in the 70s. And that brought a lot of hippies from California to settle in Bisbee because our homes were abandoned and they could pick up a house for $1,000. And that's unheard of. Our neighbor bought his house for $3,500. And that doesn't happen.
And
So those hippies kind of were very creative and artsy and liberal. And so Bisbee is the most liberal town in Arizona. They say it's a liberal oasis in the middle of a conservative desert, generally speaking. So it attracted that kind of eclectic person to Bisbee, and I think it made it ripe for having a gay population here. It was important to us. It wasn't the only thing. There's no gay bar. There's no gay restaurants per se. It's hard. I find it hard to even recognize who might be gay because it's not a stereotype look of living in the Southwest in a rural town in the desert. It's not always obvious to see who visually or see who's gay.
Right.
There is a gay population here, I think, as we've talked about, maybe 21%.
Yeah, it just fascinates me. Mm-hmm. It's just like this small little liberal town in the middle of the desert is like one of the most gay-friendliest towns in the Southwest.
And that's how a lot of travelers find us. Being in the guest house business, I often ask, how did you find Bisbee? And they look online for gay-friendly, eclectic, all kinds of kind of not your typical search for perhaps a vacation.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So does Bisbee have a gayborhood at all? Or is just everything pretty much integrated?
It is pretty much integrated. In the almost 20 years now that we've lived here, gay culture in our country has changed and moved. I now have gay marriage. That wasn't around when we first started. So there were 20 years ago, you could go to a happy hour at a bar and you would know that toward the back of the bar in the saloon, that's where the gay guys would be. And there would be a potluck, kind of happy hour food and everything. And the gay guys were the ones doing that. But now it's everywhere. We go to any bar we want. We're not ostracized at all. I mean, the roughest bar in town, if you even could call it the roughest bar, it's the oldest operating bar in Arizona called St. Elmo's. And it's gay friendly. We have drag shows there during Gay Pride. It's not a big deal. So it's pretty much the neighborhoods. People here move here or buy houses because the houses are really beautiful and charming, unique, quaint. It doesn't really matter where the house is. There are gay people everywhere.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I was only there for gay pride. So, of course, everybody in the bars are gay.
Yes.
And half of them were from Phoenix. I'm like, oh, I know you.
Right.
But Bisbee Pride is a big thing. And
yeah.
you were a part of that.
Yep. I started Gay Pride with a friend in 2005. And this was this past Father's Day week. It's every Father's Day weekend. We never imagined it would be even several years, let alone 19 years, continuously having Gay Pride here. That was kind of a surprise. But it seemed right. I'm actually surprised that there aren't more gay businesses here, more gay activity, as like when you go to Phoenix and there are gay specific businesses, bars, restaurants. This town is so, I think more gay people are coming here and buying houses from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's not obvious. You can't always pick them out. Because
right.
Not everybody's running around in their heels all the time.
Right.
Sometimes.
In the stilettos.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So no gay bars either. Everything else is integrated. Sort of like Santa Fe is like that as well. Because mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised the first time I went to Santa Fe. I was like, okay, where's the gay bar? And there isn't any.
Right.
Oh, okay. And the reasoning was there's no need for them because everyone is accepting. So
yes. I mean, one of the things I learned early on with Bisbee and how embracing it was of gay culture and gay people was I was in Rotary Club, which is a service club for the community. That was part of my job at the time, working at the county attorney's office. And they generally have a history of being conservative. And women were only recently brought in as members in Rotary. And for me, when I was in our Rotary here in Bisbee, I was the only Jewish guy and I was the only gay person. So I had some pretty big shoes to kind of fill, I felt obligated to educate them and mm-hmm. let them know that, hey, we look just like you. And through that, Rotary made a donation to our first gay pride. And for Rotary to do that, and it paid for the banner over Main Street. So everybody
wow.
that came to Bisbee before and after Pride saw that banner and that it was sponsored by Rotary. And that
Rotary.
Was a pretty big statement for Rotary to make.
Yeah.
And it's been that level of acceptance here in Bisbee. So we're pretty happy with that. And I think the town is too. We bring a lot of attention to Bisbee. We bring a lot of money during Pride. It was, and maybe still is, their most lucrative. As far as the bars and restaurants, it might be the most lucrative weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty crowded weekend. And thank mm-hmm. you for being a part of starting all of that up. That's something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
What happens in Bisbee stays in Bisbee.
Yes.
They say.
Yes. So is it easy or difficult to meet people in Bisbee? Is everyone outgoing or you have to be, of course, you have to be outgoing yourself in order to meet people. But mm-hmm. how is it cliquish or non-cliquish?
I would say that might have been the primary reason of us moving to Bisbee was because of how friendly it was. Not that Santa Fe wasn't friendly. But in Santa Fe, we lived in a townhouse, had a garage. You go into your garage with your car, the garage door comes down, and you don't even know who your next-door neighbors are. And that's how it was, unfortunately, for us. We didn't even know our next-door neighbors because that's what life was more like there. In Bisbee, we came here, and people were very friendly. All the shopkeepers were so friendly. They just are down to earth. I mean, it's living in Bisbee, you don't have to be pretentious. You don't have to worry about what you're wearing, what car you drive, what your house looks like. No one cares. No one cares what you do for a living. And that's what made it appealing to us, is that it was friendly, accepting, and it allowed us to reinvent ourselves without judgment. And that's, we gave up our careers and our social networks to move to Bisbee. And we were accepted into it for who we were. And it's been almost 20 years now.
It almost sounds like some places in Europe where they have that type of...
It's a very walkable town, the historic district. Of course, it was developed and started and settled before the automobile was even invented. So it's all conducive for walking. A lot of people who are looking to purchase homes in Bisbee want to be in the historic district for that reason, because they don't need to use their car. They can go out socially. They can go to the check their mail at the post office. They can have lunch or go to restaurants, bars, museums, music, entertainment at night, walk to parks. I mean, you don't have to drive anywhere if you don't want to. And there's even local general stores, markets, upscale and not so much upscale. But we have a general store that's been a general store for over 100 years. It still operates as a general store. So it's a great place if you don't want to be dependent on your car.
That's me. Yeah. So do you have a group of gay friends that you hang out with? I know you're in business, so everybody, you're friendly with everybody, but is there a specific gay community?
I would have to say, Mark, that we don't have a hub of gay friends. Our friends are, I would say we have more intimate friends that are straight couples than we do that are gay couples. But that's just is the way it is. Sometimes being in this business of real estate, you meet clients, you become very intimate with them for a couple months or sure. longer, and they become sometimes very good friends.
Yeah.
And they happen to be straight. It's yeah. not a big deal.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So why do you think Bisbee Pride, getting back to that just for a moment, is so popular? Like everyone that I know of in Phoenix is like, are you going to Bisbee Pride? It's why is it so popular? Is this because it's kind of like funky, you think?
Well, you know, the first year of Pride, we probably had 500 people in attendance, which we thought that was amazing that we had 500 people. Now it's into the thousands. But when we started it, our volunteers that help put on that weekend of events and take tickets and coordinate all the logistics and the booths and the vendors and the restaurants at night and the bar crawl and all the things we did, it was all done by mostly our straight community, our straight friends. We had a huge network of friends that when we first moved here, every Friday night there was a potluck at someone's house somewhere. And it was mostly attended by gay people, but lots of straight people. And so they became our volunteers. And I think Bisbee's about adult fun. We don't have a lot to offer for children. We have a museum and things like that, but to raise a child in a small town is difficult. And Bisbee has a lot of bars and evening entertainment and music. And I think that people were attracted to having fun. Didn't matter if they were gay or straight. People come out. Our city councilors came out that first year and for several years after that came to our events because they liked watching a drag show. They liked seeing things that they don't get to see very often. And to think that drag performances could be illegal, I mean, that's crazy. That's like shooting yourself in the foot. I don't get that. So I think that it was successful and became known because it was a unique pride in a unique location in a small town. And there was an appeal to that. It wasn't a big city. Like I'm from Florida even from Santa Fe. I was co-director of Pride the year before I left. And that's a pride that's huge in a big city. which is similar to San Francisco or going to big cities for a pride. I think it was different from a small town. And there are other ones. I'm sure there's Pride in the Pines up in Flagstaff, and there are other smaller prides. But Bisbee was a unique destination. Maybe a lot of people didn't know it and hear of it and wanted to just check it out. And Pride would be a good place to check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice getaway from Phoenix for a couple of days for a nice weekend. I really enjoyed it.
But and it's inexpensive, relatively inexpensive compared to the economies around us.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, talking about economy, tell us about the local economy. Can you provide examples to our audience, such as housing costs, owning a home, electric bills, water bills, gas?
So real estate has been very active here, as well as all over the country in the last couple of years. And certainly COVID kind of ramped that up, including Bisbee. A lot of people have second homes here, and they're affordable second homes. So, and during the year, they just rent them out as Airbnbs, but use them when they can, and then they end up retiring in Bisbee and homes. And probably you can move into a house in the historic district, which is generally more expensive than our surrounding kind of bedroom communities, all part of Bisbee, but in the outside of the canyon and historic district. But you could probably buy a home for about $300,000 in the historic district, perhaps even less, depending on the level of renovation that it's had over the years. Price per square foot is about $300 a square foot in the historic district. It can go, certainly if the house, our houses are small compared to houses in general in the country, but miners live small. So our houses are generally about 1,000 to 1,300 square feet and originally built without bathrooms or kitchens. So those were added on when plumbing started. And so you can see where those additions took place on the house itself.
Generally, so they had outhouses?
Outhouses, yeah. Yep. And you can even see some outhouses are still here. We have people still living with outhouses in parts of the historic district, which have electric and have water, but they still are not connected to the city sewer system. Yeah, and those are often some of the desirable houses because they're unique in the sense that, you know, they still have the outhouse, and that can be appealing to people for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how about utilities?
Utilities are surprisingly inexpensive. I'm coming from Santa Fe, where there's water restrictions on the amount of water you could use to water your yards or wash your car or things like that. In Arizona, we don't have water restrictions. In Bisbee, our typical water bill is probably $35 a month. And that's with watering the yard.
Wow.
If you have a yard. But it's very inexpensive. I don't understand that. Maybe I don't want too many people to know that.
Right.
It's a good thing. Our water is pumped from a private water company, a well that's down by the border of Mexico. They have to pump the water away from the historic district because of our history of mining. And so our water comes from an aquifer that's then pumped up to the historic district. And most of all parts of Bisbee are on that system.
Wow, that's pretty inexpensive for water.
Yeah, and it's really inexpensive. Our property taxes are very low, too. If you live in the historic district and you have it's your primary residence, you can apply for a historic property discount, which is 50% off your property taxes. If it's a contributing structure by the state of Arizona Historic Preservation Office. So property taxes, generally typical home of about 1,200 square feet. If you get the property discount, the tax discount, your property taxes could be $1,000 a year.
That's it? For like 1,300 square feet?
between $1,000 and $1,500 could be your taxes. Yeah, it just depends.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible.
That's what makes Bisbee appealing. And that's why I'm surprised that more gay people haven't come here to develop businesses. And
yeah,
I think it's kind of, it reminds me of Key West. And my husband is from San Francisco. And mm-hmm. so it reminds him of San Francisco, reminds me of Key West and from my Florida life. And, you know, those are both super gay destinations. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we both have mutual friends. I had two friends that lived in Phoenix that bought a house in Bisbee to be there part-time and then decided they were going to sell their house in Phoenix and move full-time to Bisbee, and you know them. And so, yeah, they seem to like it.
And that is, I'm selling houses. So I see people tell me, oh, I'm going to buy this house for a vacation house, a second home. Very often is the case where they'll come a few times and then they'll realize, no, we got to move here. This is where we want to live, primary residence. It happened to us. We moved here sooner than we thought we were going to move to Bisbee permanently from Santa Fe. And it just happens. Bisbee has that way of capturing the people who live here. And on the other side of the coin, when it doesn't work for people, it kind of spits you out pretty fast too. It happens.
Okay. So, all right. So homes are pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. A lot more affordable than they are here. And utilities as well. How about internet? And do you get, I don't know what type of internet you get. Because you're kind
sometimes
of rural.
Sometimes sketchy. No, but that over the years that we've lived here, it has improved a lot. The primary provider of internet services is probably our cable company, Sparklight, which is based in Phoenix. Used to be called Cable One. And in the historic district, the infrastructure for internet and for cable back years ago, I'm going back 10 or more years ago, we were just a little town. And so really the companies didn't care too much about Bisbee and the quality of service. But as we started to grow and as technology advanced, our internet now, I would imagine, seems to be pretty good. And my business is pretty much all on internet reliability. You have to be in a reliable source of internet. So I'd say it's come a long way, but we have other providers of internet, say satellite now, and also through the phones, CenturyLink, the phone provider. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has evolved enough, certainly, that people can now work from home. That was a big deal during COVID, is making sure that people were able to work from home. And I think
how much would you say is your monthly internet bill? Do you know?
It's ridiculous. We don't have cable television. We just use our cables
streaming
for streaming and internet. So it's $65 a month. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
$65 a month, and I'm paying, well, I'm over 100. I'm like 110 towards 120 a month just for internet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, of course, it depends upon the speed, but yeah, mm-hmm. that's $60 a month is pretty good. And you're coming in loud and clear, knock wood.
Not all fuzzy.
No.
No. Yeah, I know. It's very inexpensive. But, you know, we live in a county, Cochise County, and it might be the largest geographically speaking size county of the state. But I think it's one, if not the poorest, it's one of the poorest counties in the entire state. Hmm. I think our median income per person is it's pretty low. It's like 38,000, mm-hmm. I think, if even. So it helps keep our economy affordable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, for cheaper bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us, Bob, about the arts and culture scene. Is I know everything is pretty much local, but tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we have a very creative community, not just with art galleries and you know, creativity in that medium, but also in music. We have I think that speaks to the origins of Bisbee being settled in 100, where music and live entertainment was the entertainment of the town. So there were venues back then, like bars, but also clubs like the Elks Club or all of the different organizations and orders and whatever they're called. We have all of those, and those buildings still have their main floors that have their huge spaces for entertainment, for dancing, for music, for parties. And so we are a destination for music, and local bars have music every night of the week. So it doesn't matter if you're here on a Tuesday night or a Friday night or a Saturday night, you're going to hear live music. We have a jazz festival every year in September. We have a Side Pony Express, which brings hundreds of musicians to town from all over to play for a four-day weekend everywhere. They're on the street corners, they're inside alleys, they're in the entryways to commercial businesses set up on the street, in the restaurants, everywhere. And that's Side Pony Express, and that's in November. So, and we also have sometimes big name artists. We have a stand-up comedy bar that brings in comedy, but also music. So I think it goes along with the bar scene, because Bisbee was all about bars and brothels back in the day. And we still have those buildings and
brothels.
Structures. Yeah, well, there could be to whatever form it is in these days.
Right.
It's probably there. It's a human part of life.
Right.
But you can walk along the street and see remnants of the old brothels.
And they call them spas now.
Cribs. But it's part of the history of our town. And I think live entertainment has always been important. It is. We don't have a movie theater. We don't have things like that.
But if you wanted live theater, where would you go to?
Live theater, we go to Tucson. But you could actually even go closer to Sierra Vista. They have a symphony. They have live theatrical performances, musicals. But if you want something that's coming, a show that's going across the country, and a traveling show of whatever it might be, Hamilton, you're going to have to go to Tucson. Which is only about an hour and 40 minutes from Bisbee. And it's a reason to go to a nice restaurant, different restaurant. We have great restaurants in Bisbee, but you get tired of the same ones when you live here.
Right.
So it's nice to go to Tucson. We went last night.
How far is the drive?
It's about an hour and 40 minutes, about
not too
70,
bad.
80 miles.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, it's definitely doable, and it's worth it because we have the University of Arizona. So Centennial Hall is the big performance space there. That's where most of the shows are. But they also have a convention center, and they have other smaller venues in the historic parts of downtown Tucson, the Rialto Theater, the Fox Theater. There's quite a bit of entertainment.
Quite a bit, yeah. How about the restaurant scene in Bisbee?
We have, our nicest restaurant, Cafe Roca, has been in business for over 30 years. And it is a five-star restaurant. It was the only five-star restaurant south of Tucson. It may still be. We do have another restaurant that's on par with Cafe Roca, but it's outside of the historic district, so it caters mostly to our local residents, called the Copper Pig. Amazing food. Cafe Roca, eating at Cafe Roca, well, not only is it an amazing meal, it's visually amazing to look at. It's a work of art. Colorful, beautiful food on your plate. And every meal is served like that. But the building that it's in is historic, so it's beautiful inside. It has a marble, white marble bar right in the middle of the restaurant. It's definitely a beautiful place to dine. And the owner, Rod Cass, and his wife, Sally, amazing folks, generous. We're so lucky to have them here. And that love is, you can see it in the quality and presentation and service at that restaurant.
Next time I come out to Bisbee, we'll have to go to Cafe Roca.
Yes. Yeah. Only open Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday, sometimes Thursday, but.
Okay. Know, we'll make limited. It. We'll definitely make it there on one of those days.
Excellent. Yes.
Okay. Is there any traffic, so to speak?
It's funny. That's relative to what you're used to. It's pretty, when you come from a big city, people come here and there's only one traffic light. So, and it's not in town. It's on the way to Safeway. So not much traffic here. But if you talk to locals who have been here, tourism is, it used to be just the weekends, but tourism is pretty big even during the week now, because Bisbee has just gotten so well known throughout the whole country over the last decade or so. And so people will complain that it is traffic when you have to stop and let someone cross the street or something.
Right. Look at all this traffic.
Yeah, but it's all relative. It's really not traffic, and it's parking. Sometimes people say parking can be problematic, but really it isn't. You just have to know the city and know where to park and where the options are other than the obvious.
Where's the closest airport?
Bisbee has a municipal airport for private flights if you chose to visit
by plane.
Right. But in general, yeah, it's Tucson. That's our closest.
Tucson
International, which again is an hour and 40 minutes, which isn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So not too bad either. There's no public transportation because
we do have public transportation.
You do?
Yeah, we have a
you
bus.
Have buses?
Mm-hmm. We have buses within our city that just make a circuit through the city and the outlying little neighborhoods outside of the historic district. But we also have a bus system for the county, and it takes people from the major cities around Cochise County. So you can go from Bisbee to Douglas to Sierra Vista on this bus.
Okay. You definitely need a car because it's car centric.
Yes. Yeah, you still need a car. Even if you live in the historic district, if you want to go to Safeway, you have to drive.
Right.
It's about 5 miles.
5 miles to Safeway? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can definitely deal with
that. I mean, it could be, if you could get there as a bird, as the crow flies, it's maybe less than a mile, but we have mountains that we have to go around.
Around.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
How about crime? Is there any considering? I mean, I wouldn't think there's that much violent crime like in a big city.
Right.
Would I feel safe going out at night? Tell us a little bit about that.
My first job when we first moved to Bisbee, one of my first jobs, wasn't the first job. I worked for the county attorney's office, and the county attorney's office allowed me to see what the crime was. Bisbee and in our entire county. Crime is very low here. We have a lot of petty crime. Sometimes I think that the best part of our local newspaper, which comes out only once a week, the best part is the back page, which is our crime beat, blotter, whatever. Mostly it's about skunks, calling the police to come get a skunk, or someone is drunk and yelling and screaming out in their front yard, or someone's dog has gotten loose and is attacking the neighborhood children or something. Generally, it is pretty hilarious. At the end of the year, on the last edition of the year, so in kind of the New Year's Eve edition, the paper highlights all of the funny crime stories of the entire year. They pull out specific stories that are just hilarious because they can be so ridiculous.
Probably more crime from tourists than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, there is crime because, like everywhere, even in small towns and maybe even, you know, surprisingly small towns, there's drug use. Mm-hmm. And drugs can bring cause crime. People to do crime.
Right.
But one thing about crime is that the good thing in the historic district, when you live upstairs, so you have to go up steps to get to your house, less crime. You have better views, more privacy, and generally less crime because criminals are generally lazy and don't go up steps do mischief.
I mean, if you were a thief, would you climb a mountain to get out their huge TV out
exactly.
of the living room? No.
Exactly.
No, because you'd break your neck trying
it's
to
why
do
we
it.
Don't have mail delivery. So it's
oh, so what do you do for mail delivery?
We have to go to the post office
and pick it up.
Which is in the historic district. And that is probably the number one place to socialize with your neighbors and people in town. Everybody has to go to the post office, so you are guaranteed you're going to run into somebody.
Somebody.
And what you thought would take 5 minutes takes you an hour to get your mail because you just end up talking.
Yeah. How about homeless population? Is there any?
There is. I would say it's generally, their choice and preference. It's easy to live here. The weather, some people say we have the best weather in the entire country. There's a sign and a mural on the side of a building downtown that actually says that or makes that claim. So it's easy for a homeless person to live here because our climate is nice. But we also have people who live in caves. We have a lot of caves in town that were from the mining times where there were exploratory caves to see what was in the earth. And so people actually live in those as, again, by choice. But also another factor to the homeless population or close to homeless is that back in the 70s, when I mentioned earlier that the mines kind of stopped becoming so active, a lot of people moved here because it was inexpensive to live. And some of those people were living on Social Security disability money because of mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So it attracted, and that money that came in like that was called funny money. That's what I've heard the term used of that generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they're still here. So mental health and homelessness, it's an embracing community. If you have a potluck at your house, those people are going to find out about it and they're going to come and have dinner at your house. It's a very interesting, eclectic mix. I mean, that's how it was when we had potlucks 15, 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. Just everybody came to have
even the cave,
meal.
The cavemen people.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody, it's a small town, know who those people are. And they know, so it's one of the nice things about living in this town is that you can't go anywhere without someone probably knowing who you are. And it's not a negative thing. We all get along. It's what's so embracing and easy to live here is that you can reinvent yourself and no one cares because everybody's here on their own path.
Right. It's not like the typical, oh, what do you do for a living? And impress one another. Everybody's just laid back and eclectic.
Yeah, and if you ask that question, it can be pretty funny what you hear people. They might say, well, I have a PhD in chemical engineering or whatever, but they're living in Bisbee and they're working at the card shop or the Five and Dime as the cashier.
Cool.
Yeah, so you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
That is cool. Mm-hmm. How about healthcare? What type of healthcare do you have in Bisbee? And if there was something serious, do you have to go all the way to Tucson or where would you go for a hospital?
That's a really good question, Mark. A lot of people think that because we're a small town, our healthcare is going to kind of suffer, but it hasn't. When I first moved to Bisbee and was in Rotary, the CEO of our community hospital was also in Rotary with me. And he really put our hospital on the map of rural healthcare, frontline, cutting edge technology, services, and amazing awards our hospital has received because of that, and grants, federal grants. So we have a great hospital. It originally was made of single wide trailers, if you can imagine that, kind of set up in a star shape, where the hub, it was kind of like the spokes of a wheel. So All the different trailers were either inpatient beds or different offices or different areas of hospital treatment areas. And that has now grown to stationary buildings. We have a new emergency room that is, when you're in that emergency room, you could be in Phoenix. I couldn't believe the difference. And we've been in the emergency room a few times just by living here and dealing with steps, running up or running down the steps.
You end
up in the emergency room really quick, especially if you're coming home from the bars at night or something.
So how far is the hospital? Is it right
in
town?
The hospital is probably 3 miles from the historic district.
Wow.
And it has surgical facilities. I've had outpatient. I had my gallbladder removed a couple years ago. They do a lot of gastro, like every 10 years you have to have a
colonoscopy.
They do those. And now they're expanding. They're going to be building a building for surgical suites to have more levels of surgery and care. We have about 12, 15 beds for inpatient. We can't treat most trauma, so it gets triaged at our hospital emergency room, and then helicopters air vac them up to Tucson. Phoenix, depending on what they need. And that's pretty active. Mm-hmm. I think our population average age is about, I think I looked that up, I want to say close to 50 years old. So we're heading into the age of needing things as we get
doctors.
Older. One thing we don't have, and I wish we did, is assisted living. You do have to go to Sierra Vista for assisted living services, which is, hopefully that'll change, but we currently don't have it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, assisted living is, it's pretty difficult to find for the LGBTQ community itself. It's hard to find a place that you think is accepting, and you don't have to go back into the closet.
Right.
So if they had one in Bisbee, I know that it would be one of those accepting ones.
It would have to be, because it's not just gays that are unique. There are all kinds of people living here. I thought Santa Fe was kind of, quirky, woo-woo, all kinds. No, Bisbee is even more. And so it would have to cater to everybody. The difficult part is because we're so profit-focused. Mm-hmm. So companies don't invest in that type of service because they can't make the numbers work to give them their profit, because we just started too small of a place.
Yeah.
But maybe that'll change as things do.
Yeah, I hope so. Mm-hmm. So do you wish you had, what do you wish that you had in Bisbee that you don't have that you might have had elsewhere? Is there anything you don't have that you'd like?
Well, assisted living, prepare for getting older, would be one thing. Another would be, more, that's a good question. Services, because we generally, if we need to go clothes shopping or furniture shopping or anything like that, we have to go Sierra Vista. Tucson, depending on what we're needing. Restaurants, it's always nice to have more restaurants, because even though we have some really great restaurants for a small town, it'd be nicer to have some more.
Yeah.
And different ethnic food. We have a lot of Mexican, a lot of pizza. But we fortunately have a Vietnamese restaurant, which is really amazing. Tui's Noodle Shop. But we're lucky that we have a Vietnamese woman in town, because, we wouldn't have that restaurant if she weren't here.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So living here for so many years, are there any cons that we didn't speak of?
Well, if a con is having to drive for things, you do have to drive. If you want a specialist in healthcare, a urologist, or they have some specialty doctors that make rounds, maybe come to Bisbee once a month or twice a month to our hospital. But if you need to see a specialist for things, you generally are going to drive probably to Tucson. You can go to Sierra Vista, but it's probably more opportunities up in Tucson.
In Tucson, yeah.
For specialties.
Yeah.
Yeah, for specialists. But
gotcha.
I surprisingly like the small local lifestyle. So the cons are, we've tried to move away over the years we've lived here. When we travel on vacation, we look for opportunities to see what else might be nice to live. Where else might be nice to live? And we have never found anywhere yet that has turned us on like Bisbee did. So
that's great. That's great. Hey, you found your home.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
So in wrapping up, Bob, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Bisbee? Of course, see you for a home.
Yeah, I can certainly help people out, not just in real estate needs, but, you know, our guest house, it's very original, but has all the modern upgrades with central air conditioning and things like that. But I would recommend that if people were interested in exploring and checking out Bisbee, come for a long weekend. A weekend is nice, but you really need even more if you really want to explore the area. There are so many different things to see in the area that are worth checking out. So come check it out first, see if it's right, and then most likely you're going to come back.
Tell us about Double Jack Guest House.
The Double Jack Guest House. First of all, the name is a mining term, a double jack drilling team. There are single jacks and double jacks. A single jack is where a miner in his one hand holds the drill bit and the other hand has the sledgehammer to hit the drill bit. And they're drilling holes for like dynamite, put dynamite in to blow up the hillside. But a double jack is a two-man drilling team. One guy holds the drill and the other guy has the mallet. So you have to really have a trusting partner in that one. But that's the name, Double Jack Guest House. We've been in business 16 years. We started, there were 10 guest houses in the historic district when we started. Now there's probably 100 and some guest houses, over 100. And it's been in a business that just surprised us. We didn't realize how successful it was going to be. It's how I did get into real estate, because people stay at the guest house. It's a typical miner's cabin on the hillside, great views, private, and a nice spot to hang out outside, and it's comfortable inside. So it's a business that I didn't expect to develop. When we bought the property, it was there, but it was a shack. We lived in it actually as a shack for 5 years. My husband said, oh, I can renovate our house in 3 months. I didn't know anything. I wasn't a realtor. I knew nothing about renovation. It took 5 years, and it just is. Bisbee is a desirable destination for weekend getaways, as we talked about, and the Double Jack is an authentic place. It's not been kind of that flipper look when you stay in Airbnbs that have the same color, the same furniture, this very generic things on the wall. The guest house, the Double Jack, is not like that. It's very authentic. A lot of original detail. Most everything is original and brought back and repurposed. And it's a comfortable place to stay.
Are you on Airbnb or any of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, that you have to be, really.
Right.
To do business in that line of work, you have to be on Airbnb and TripAdvisor and VRBO, all of those.
Yeah.
But we also have a private website. People can check out our private website, which has video and pictures and ideas of suggestions on things to do in the area based on the length of your stay. It's doublejackbisbee.com, so it's an easy website. And you can book directly through that by contacting us through the website and save yourself some money.
Wonderful, wonderful. And where could we find you as a realtor?
It's crazy, but I don't advertise. Yeah, I've never needed to advertise.
It's just local.
Being successful in real estate anywhere generally comes down to having a strong network in the community. And when we first moved here, we volunteered for so many things. We're still very involved in our community, and that's what we like to do. And just by that is enough to gain business.
That's enough.
And word of mouth. So if they want to contact me through the Double Jack, I mention it on all of the Double Jack websites and Airbnb and VRBO and all the mega websites that I'm also a realtor and glad to help.
Excellent. And I just want to let our audience know that we also, besides the podcast, have a Facebook group called Where Do Gays Retire? And it's www.facebook.com/group/gay-retirement-places. You can find us there. Our total membership now is up to 13,200 people. So it's very enjoyable. We have a lot of interesting topics in the LGBTQ retirement community. So definitely should check that out, as well as, of course, this podcast that's available on every podcast platform and also on the website www.wheredogaysretire.com. So in saying that, we will wrap this up. Thank you so much for being a guest, Bob. Is there anything else that you want to say to our audience?
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you for having me again. No, I just say it's never too late to discover more about yourself and your community and your culture and your life, and you'd be surprised. It is never too late. So I always encourage people, put BSBE on your checklist, your bucket list, whatever. Check it out. If not for anything else, it's just a great getaway for the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we'll definitely keep that in mind, and we're going to make another visit to BSBE, and we'll definitely look you up.
You'll be welcome at our guest house if you don't mind 75 steps.
No, we'll make it up there somehow.
We'll meet you at the hotel.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bob. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.